From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message from the life of Christ entitled Christ and His Sheep. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus declared Himself to be the Good Shepherd. The passage teaches one of the great doctrines of the Bible, that God has given His Son a people, for whom He became both the door and the shepherd. Before coming to the preaching of the Word, Dr. Cairns addresses the hot topic of the day, evolution and presidential politics, a bad omen.
Evolutionists are losing the debate in the court of public opinion, so they're turning to a tried and tested method of garnering support, fear-mongering. They have noted how powerfully this has played out in the global warming debate, and have decided to take a leaf out of the Greens playbook. Listen to this report. Electing a president who doesn't believe in evolution theory is a way to lead a nation to ruin, according to one scientist. The logic that convinces us that evolution is a fact is the same logic we use to say smoking is hazardous to your health, or we have serious energy policy issues because of global warming, said Dr. Gilbert Omen, professor of internal medicine, human genetics, and public health at the University of Michigan, during a science media day, one day after presidential hopeful Mike Huckabee won the Iowa caucuses. I would worry that a president who didn't believe in the evolution arguments wouldn't believe in those other arguments either. This is a way of leading our country to ruin, said Omen, who was present for the release of a pro-evolution book, Science, Evolution and Creationism, published by the National Academy of Sciences. That's the end of the report. Now, I hope that Dr. Omen's skill in internal medicine is vastly superior to his logic or his honesty. Let's deal with the honesty issue first. There's not the slightest correlation in methodology between how medical scientists have determined that smoking is hazardous to one's health, and how evolutionists arrived at their theory of origins, to give the impression that evolutionists can produce the empirical evidence in favour of their theory that's available to show the dangers of smoking is downright misleading. Now, let's look at the logic. All I say is that to try to expect us to accept the truth of evolution because some scientists with a particular agenda have scared a lot of people into accepting that catastrophic man-induced global warming is occurring and that big government measures can fix it is ludicrous. However, it says a lot about how desperate the evolution lobby is becoming these days. They have successfully closed the door of tenured professorship in scientific disciplines against any scientist who doesn't share their belief in Darwinism. Now they want to extend their closed shop policy to the presidency of the United States. It's not a Darwin-denying president who will ruin this country, but closed-minded academics who are seeking to make the minds of their students, and if possible, the electorate of this country, as closed as theirs. Pardon the awful pun, but when Dr. Gilbert Omen speaks so ominously to link America's future to his pet theory of evolution and tries to make the office of the president the peculiar domain of Darwinian evolutionists, it is an ill omen indeed. It appears that evolutionists want to grab by spreading fear what they cannot gain by rational debate.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, praise the Lord. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, praise the Lord.
Oh, to grace, how great the desert, daily I constrain to be.
Let thy goodness, my God, and my mind on bring my to thee.
I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, pray the Lord. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, pray the Lord.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Thank you. liberals particularly love to portray Christ as an unassuming Galilean teacher who made no claims to deity. This is a statement that liberals make again and again and again. They make it in their books, you'll hear it in their television documentaries. It's as if the Lord Jesus never made any claim to being God. He was a simple teacher who came like a Jewish rabbi. Oh, he was better than the rest of them, but he came as a Jewish rabbi to teach a better standard of love and life and morality. And then came his disciples, and especially that most malignant of all disciples, the Apostle Paul, and they built this simple Galilean teacher up into a God in the flesh. They took the simplicity of the stories of Jesus and they built them up into a system of theology. Hence you have what they call the quest for the historical Jesus, trying to strip away the myth and the theology imposed upon the story by Peter and Paul and the rest of the apostles. To get underneath the myth, strip it away until we get to the historical Jesus. This is blasphemy. Utter, lying, satanic blasphemy. And that it should be entertained within the Christian church is a shame, but it's a shame that will become explicable when I get in a few moments to the beginning of John chapter 10. You see, there's no difficulty in getting to the historical Jesus. He is the Jesus of the Gospels. He's the Jesus that the apostles preached. He's the Jesus of the epistles. And here in John's Gospel, which by the way is the reason why so many apostates deny the very historicity of John's Gospel. Used to be they tried to deny that John himself ever wrote it. Having been routed from that ground, they persist in attacking this as unhistorical. Why? Because they cannot come to terms with the truth that's put therein. Again, those who will not see are the blindest of the blind. Here in John's Gospel, and especially in the chapter we have been reading, you get Christ's answer to the Jews' question, "Whom makest thou thyself?" What are you making yourself out to be? We're going to look at what he answers. Because when you look at this parable and the use he made of it, you'll see he's simply talking on the subject of Christ and his sheep. There's a great doctrine here, a great truth, that from his Father in heaven, the Son of God received a people whom he calls his sheep, and for them he became the door and the shepherd. Now, if you want to get to terms with John 10, the simplest way of grasping its message is to remember what I said. The Lord Jesus takes this simple story, selects two elements from it. Later on, he adds a third. Watch this carefully. In relation to the fold, he says, "I am the door." In relation to the flock, he says, "I am the shepherd." And then, in relation to the Father, down toward the end of the chapter, verse 29 and 30, he says, "I am the Son, the very Son of God, who is one with the Father." Whom makest thou thyself? What are you making yourself out to be? Well, here's his answer. Here is Christ's deep insight into his own person, character, and mission. Whom do I make myself to be? In relation to the sheepfold, I am the one and the only door. In relation to the flock, I am the one and only shepherd. In relation to the Father in heaven, I am the one and only Son of God. What a revelation of the Lord Jesus. We'll take them one by one. In relation to the fold, he says, "I'm the door of the sheep." Remember that parable in the opening five verses. For both shepherds and sheep in the parable, there was only one door. Spiritually, for both shepherds and sheep, There is only one way into the fold, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way into the fold of God is through Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. What he's saying is that I am the mediator of all divine grace. Every other professed mediator, savior, messiah, he says, is a fraud. Not only a fraud, he says he's a thief and a robber. Two different words describing the same malignant characters. The thief is one who comes with deceit. The robber is one who comes with violence. The devil and his crew will do whatever it takes to get their evil job done, to get in among the sheep of God if they can. The Old Testament had warned against such false shepherds. Jeremiah 23, the opening two verses. Ezekiel 34, in the opening four verses. And other places through the chapter. Those are two important Old Testament references. And the 34th chapter of Ezekiel is probably the greatest chapter in the Bible on the false and the true shepherds. You should read it very carefully. In the New Testament, the apostles, for example, in Acts 20, when Paul spoke to the elders at Ephesus, warned again of false teachers coming in among the people of God. Now, here's the question. How then are we to recognize lawful pastors and false pastors and shepherds? How are you to recognize them? I know that the easy way to do it is the way the apostles tried to do it, or the disciples of Christ. If they're not of us, then they're false. If you're a Presbyterian and they're not of us, they might be Baptist or Episcopalian or Methodist. They're not of us, therefore they're wrong, they're false shepherds. No, not so at all. Church history is a very humbling discipline and study. And it shows you that God is not stuck with the usites. How do you recognize the false shepherds? Well, here you have it very clearly. The only lawful pastors are those who enter the fold through Jesus Christ. Every true shepherd makes full use of the door. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't avoid it. He doesn't try to build other doors into the walls. In other words, in spiritual language, every true shepherd acknowledges Jesus Christ as the sole mediator of all grace, the sole mediator between God and man. True shepherds come in Jesus' name. They come in His will. They come with His word. They preach His gospel. And the mark of the true shepherd is they always lead the sheep to Christ. That's the mark. They always lead the sheep to Christ. Bishop Ryle said that any teacher of religion who doesn't take up and discharge his office with faith and Christ and His atonement, with an aim to glorify Christ, is unfit for his business and unable to do any good. Instead of being a shepherd who helps and feeds, he's no better than a robber who does harm. Instead of saving souls, he kills them. Instead of bringing life, he brings death to his hearers. Way back in church history, Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, wrongly identifying the fold as the Catholic Church. Of course, that term in those days had a different connotation than it does today. That was the day before Roman popes. But if he had said the true church, he'd have been much closer to the mark. Christ's fold, then, is the true church. Whoso would enter the fold, let him enter by the door, let him preach very Christ. Let him not only preach very Christ, but seek Christ's glory and not his own. And as a great preacher and pastor, he had this to say, seeking to enter into your hearts, I preach Christ. If I were preaching or speaking to student ministers or trained ministers, that would be a great text. Seeking to enter your hearts, I preach Christ. If I preach other than that, I shall be striving to climb up some other way. Now there is an observation that really is difficult for me to depart from without taking 10 or 15 minutes on it. And I don't have 10 or 15 minutes. But there is a great preacher putting his finger exactly on what is wrong in modern Christendom. If I'm trying to get to your heart, other than by preaching Christ, says Augustine, I'm like a thief and a robber climbing up some other way. Yet what is happening in our churches around America today, people know nothing of the preaching of Christ in most places. When you go from church to church, they'll hear little messages on this principle and that principle. They'll hear emotional stories. They'll have all sorts of things going on. But there has been little or no exposition of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So that the men in the pulpits, departing from Christ the door, are climbing over the wall and they're destroying the flock. That's what Augustine was saying. Through Christ, he says, I win your hearts. Can I say to you, if I don't win your heart by preaching Christ, then it's worthless for me to win it at all.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.